share something with you today that's really been on my heart. It's always on my heart, and if my son's here, and he hears me tell him this all the time, so this is going to probably feel like a boring message to him, but hopefully it won't be boring to you. Hopefully you guys walk out of here saying, man, I've got to make this part of my life. What I want to talk to you today is about choices. How many know what choice is? Everybody know how to make a choice? I want to share with you. Anybody know how to make a choice? It's weird. That's weird. I want to share with you one verse. Well, one verse. We're going to have lots of verses through here, but I just want to share with you one verse. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says this. It says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Let me read that again. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Can we pray one more time quickly together? Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, let it transform our hearts. God, I pray this message will pierce every person's heart today. God, that we leave here different, leave here changed. God, leave here saying, Lord, we have to make better choices in life. So in your name we pray, amen. So how many of you guys realize that life is full of choices, right? Life is full of choices. Every day we choose what to wear. We choose what to eat. We choose whether we're going to take a shower or not. Son. Each and every one of us made a choice today. We made a choice to get up, come to church, wake up. Some of us were tired. Some were like, I just want to skip today. But you made the choice to get up and come anyway. So thank you for that. But we all are making choices. Now, let me ask you a tougher question. How many have ever made a bad choice? How many of you guys have ever made a bad decision? Right? We've all made, Ray's made two today, apparently. We've all made bad decisions, right? Your mom tells you to clean your room, but you decide, nah, I'm not going to do that, right? You know you need to study for your test, so you get a good grade, but you decide, I'm just going to stay a little longer on the video game. Right, you know, your alarm goes off, and you know I got to get up, so I get to work on time. It's gonna be my fourth day late this week, and you decide, just hit that snooze, Lethea. What? Your husband and I were talking about this morning. You've never punched a clock in your life. We talked about that. Sorry, picking on you. But what happens when you make bad decisions? Right? We get in trouble, right? We face the consequences. Parents yell at us. We get put on restriction. We get discipline. We get in trouble with our bosses. We have to have that sit down with our bosses, and they're like, listen, you got to be on time here. You know, you're doing great at your job, but you got to be on time, right? So we suffer the pain of those consequences, right? And so let me ask you a question. If I could give you one clue, if I could tell you one thing that would save you some pain, if I could tell you one thing that would make your relationships better, if I could tell you one thing that would help you to enjoy life more, if I could tell you one thing that would help you to have a better future, one thing that could help strengthen your relationship with God, would you listen? Would you say, oh yeah, I need that information? Right, we all would. We all always say, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I want to listen to this. I want to write this down because I need to know. See, believe it or not, the Bible has a lot of stuff to say about those who make bad decisions, who make bad choices. And some of you might know this, but the book of Proverbs was written by a guy named Solomon. And Solomon had this unique quality about him, right? What was his unique quality? He was known as the wisest man who ever lived. He wrote a lot of cool stuff down. Matter of fact, if you look through Proverbs, you see a bunch of cool stuff. Let me read you a couple things that he wrote. It says this, doing wrong is fun for a fool, but living wisely brings pleasure to the sensible. He wrote this, wise people think before they act, fools don't, and even brag about their foolishness. You guys ever know a fool who just brags about doing something dumb? He says this, the wisdom of the wise keeps life on track. The foolishness of fools lands them in a ditch. He says, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. See, the Bible is very clear how we are and how we are not supposed to act. Matter of fact, the Bible says of all the different people in this world, said it really comes down, there's only really three different types of people in the world. The Bible says there's only three different types of people in the world. There's the naive, there's the fool, and then there's the wise. Let me tell you a little bit about these three people. First person is the naive person. And a naive person is simply a person who lacks experience. We all come into this world naive, right? We all come into this world lacking experience. Being naive isn't a bad thing. Being naive simply means you just don't know. You lack the experience. The key word for someone who is naive is the word clueless. We're clueless about a situation because we've never experienced it before. Let me give you some examples of what it means to lack experience. How many of you guys know or have seen a teenager who smokes? Yeah. Right? Teenagers start smoking for one reason, really. It's because they think it's cool. Like their friends are doing it. I mean, so they think they're cool. They think, oh, this is a cool thing to do. And they think it's cool simply because they're naive. They just think it's cool to do. See, but I've never met an adult who's been driving down the street or looked down the street and saw a teenager smoking and thought, man, that kid sure is cool. Look at him. 15 years old, smoking a cigarette, right? See, you never see that. You know why? Because an adult understands that teenager is just naive. They lack experience. See, because that teenager hasn't gotten up in the morning and hacked up a lung for 5 minutes because they've been smoking yet. That teenager hasn't had that doctor's visit yet where the doctor says, you know what, you got lung cancer. So they're just naive. They lack experience. Let me give you another example. Right now, we are in the midst of NFL preseason, right? We're winding it down. NFL preseason is typically kind of boring, but one thing you do learn is there's a lot of rookies out there, a lot of people out there who are trying to make the team. And so if you turn on a game now and you look into the fourth quarter, you see what's out there. You see a bunch of no-name journeymen, a bunch of rookies that are trying to make the team. Inevitably, what happens is they get out there and they're on the field and they're trying to do the best, but inevitably, they make mistakes. The play calls for them to go this way, and they go that way, right? They're supposed to cover this receiver, but they cover the wrong guy, and they make a mistake. And what the announcer say? Oh, that was just a rookie mistake. See, being naive is like being a rookie. You simply just don't know the playbook yet, and so you're naive, you're a rookie. But see, the truth is this, is no one stays a rookie forever. Eventually, we all mature. Eventually, we all move up and we grow into one of these other two types. See, the next type is the fool, right? The next option you have, you start off in the world naive, but then you graduate from naivety. Is that a word? Sound like a word. You graduate and you become either one or two things. You become wise or a fool. Next option is a fool. You become a fool. And a key word for fool is the word this, is careless. And the reason why a fool is careless is simply this, because a fool could simply care less. See, a fool knows right from wrong, but they choose to do wrong anyways. They just don't care. They're totally committed to themselves. I mean, how many of you have ever heard someone say, you know, decisions have consequences, right? Every decision you make has a consequence. And when you hear a fool say, when you tell a fool that, this is what the fool says. So? I don't care. Right? A fool doesn't care because they're way too cool for it. Too cool for school. Right? If it feels right, then they're in. If it doesn't feel right, then they're out. When you ask a fool, why'd you do that? This is what the fool says. Because I felt like it. So, I don't care. Who cares? See, fools don't listen to anybody because they already know everything. Or they already think they know everything, right? Fools don't listen to anybody because they already know everything. You can't tell me nothing. I know everything. Something happens when you become a teenager up until you're about 25. You think you know everything. Then something happens between like 26 and 30, you realize, man, I don't have a clue. And then you spend years 30 to 40 trying to fix all the mess you got yourself in. This is what Proverbs 12:15 says. The way of the fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. The way of a fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. See, a fool says, I don't need your advice, right? You're old, you're dumb, you're stupid, you don't know, you don't know. The Bible goes even further, and Solomon goes even further at the end of Proverbs 26, to define what a fool really is. This is what he says, Proverbs 26:11, about a fool, the picture of a fool. So you want to get an image of what a fool looks like? He says this, says, like a dog returning to his vomit, so a fool keeps doing the same thing over and over in spite of coming consequences. How many of you guys ever owned a dog before? Ever had a dog? You guys have a dog? What happens when a dog gets sick, right? You're sitting down, the dog is, all of a sudden you see the dog and it starts getting like this little heaving thing happening. And if you're lucky enough, you're able to scoop that dog up and throw him outside or gently place him outside. You can't throw a dog outside. You take that dog outside and then that dog would go and it gets over in the corner and it starts heaving. And then it throws up. And then what happens if it throws up? Throws up and he goes, oh, I feel pretty good now. It looks over and sees the cat and starts running around chasing the cat, right? But then here it comes 5 minutes later. Ooh, what's that? Right? And they start eating the vomit again. And then what's happened? They get sick again. And so they throw it up again. There goes the cat, runs off, chase the cat 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, comes back, starts eating again. See, that's what a fool is. Child, tell a child, don't touch that. You can burn yourself. Child says, gotta touch it. I tell my son, you need to stop. Oh, but he always has to do it one more time. Anybody have children have to always have to do it one more time? See, here's the difference. A naive person says, I won't get caught. A fool says, I don't care if I get caught. Right? That's really a big difference. The naive says, you know, I'm never gonna get caught. The fool says, you know what? I don't really care if I get caught. I mean, how many of you would say, you know what, I really want to be a fool, right? Anyone want to be a fool? No takers? Right? No one wants to be a fool. I mean, you know what happens when you Google the word fool? When you search and Google for the word fool, Google is a real word now. If you Google the word fool, you get all these pictures of court jesters. And what were court jesters known to be? They were the lowest class. They were the lowlifes. They were the town idiots, right? The picture of a fool is a picture of a court jester, of an idiot. Always making bad decisions. But see, the Bible says that there is a third alternative. And that third alternative is to choose to be wise. How many of you say, yeah, I like to be wise. I like to make wise decisions in my life. See, every one of us wants to be wise. Every one of us wants to make wise decisions. I mean, we want to make wise decisions about school, about dating, about marriage, about our job, about our money, about our finances, about life. We want to make wise decisions in life. See, but the truth is that everyone in here has made a bad decision before, right? Everyone in here has made bad choices. Some of us in here have lived a life of bad decisions, full of bad choices. Poor choices. Met a couple weeks ago, myself and Erica and Jessica Briscoe, we met with Brenda, who's the director at Shepherd Staff. You guys know what Shepherd Staff is? Local community organization. Just do amazing, tremendous work for the community, helping those who are less fortunate, those who are financial problems, homeless. Just, man, they do so many amazing things. I'm looking forward. We're going to look to see how we can partner with them and help them out and really be a part of just the great things they're doing in the community. I think they're doing great stuff. There's no sense of us trying to reinvent the wheel. They are doing amazing stuff. Let's figure out ways we can partner with them. So hopefully that those opportunities will come up in the future. But they're doing great stuff. We were sitting there talking with them, and Brenda's sharing her heart, and she's sharing all the great things they're doing. And And I was listening to her, and at first, my first thought was like, "Wow, what an awesome organization! Man, they're giving away school supplies, and they're giving away food, and they're doing all these things. They give away 5,000 winter coats every year. Just amazing stuff." So my first thought was, "Man, what an amazing organization!" But while we're sitting up there, we could hear all the hustle and bustle happening around this little house that they're in. People are coming in, people are going out, people are getting help, receiving help, having their needs met. And you sit there and you start to think, man, what in the world happened for these people to fall into these circumstances? What put them in this place where they had this need? I mean, was it a loss of a job? Some of them. Was it a divorce? Some of them. Spousal abuse? Some of them. Some of them got kicked out by their family, didn't have anywhere else to go. A lot of them had drug problems, and they're looking for help. And you realize very quickly that as you get older, as you grow, so do the consequences in your life. I mean, this is really important because a lot of us think, oh, things get easier as we get older. But the truth is this, getting older doesn't make you a better decision maker. Getting older just means that the stakes are higher. Right? When my son gets in trouble, he thinks it's the end of the world, but it's really like a minor punishment. But if he makes those same mistakes at a job, he's going to get fired. He makes those same mistakes in life, it can cost him everything. I think about my father. My father passed away about 20 years ago. And the truth is I never really had a good relationship with my father. He was kind of out of my life, out of my picture, out of my life by the time I was 11, 12 years old. My father was an alcoholic. He essentially drank himself to death. Died when he was 52. His father was alcoholic, also died when he was 47. But if I had the ability to ask my father, you know, Dad, did you ever imagine as a kid that you would grow up to be an alcoholic just like your father? Dad, did you ever imagine one day you'd wake up and realize that this alcohol had robbed you of your job, your career, your marriage, your family? I mean, did you ever dream that one day you grow up and say, man, I just threw my life away? Of course, he would say, and everyone else would say, no, I didn't dream that. I was a kid and I had these great dreams. I wanted to be a football player. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. I had all these great dreams, all these great aspirations. See, nobody plans to make choices that they will regret. Listen to this. Most people don't plan to mess up their lives. They just don't plan not to. I mean, that's so important. Most people don't plan to mess up their lives. They just don't plan not to. See, my 20-plus years of being in church and being in ministry and having to deal with so many people that have struggles, I've never met a single person who said, you know what, when I get older, I just want to run away from God. Or when I, I just want to be pregnant when I was 15 years old. Or, when I get older, I just plan on being an alcoholic or addicted to cigarettes or addicted to drugs. When I get older, I can't wait till I get arrested, right? I can't wait till I ruin my life when I get older. See, nobody plans to do that. Nobody plans to ruin their life. So what I want to do, I want to give you one question, one principle, one thought, one little nugget. If you can grab a hold of this thing, I promise you it will change the course of your life. If you take this one thing and you start to apply it to areas of your life, it will save you from so much regret. It will save you from so many bad consequences. One little question. Let me give you the wrong question first, because this is the question that we usually live our life by. See, when life goes by, when situations rise, when things happen in our life, when things come our way, the typical question we ask is this: is there anything wrong with it? Is there anything wrong with this? And that's an okay question. It's just not the best question. Why? Because our assumption is if there's nothing wrong with it, then it must be right. If it's not wrong, it must be right. Right? That's always the assumption. We like to say stuff, well, it's not like it's against the law. It's not like I'm hurting anybody. It's not like I'm doing anything wrong. But understand, every harmful decision begins with a series of there's nothing wrong with it choices. I mean, I hear people say all the time, there's nothing wrong with that. I didn't think there was anything wrong with me doing this. But these there's nothing wrong with it choices lead to pain all the time, lead to hurt all the time. See, there's nothing wrong with surfing the internet, right? There's nothing wrong with chatting with your friends on whatever the latest and greatest social media service is. There's nothing wrong with hanging out with your girlfriend and staying up with your boyfriend or girlfriend 4 hours after your parents have gone to bed. Right? There's nothing wrong with hanging out with somebody who drinks. It's not like I'm drinking. There's nothing wrong with going to that party. It's not like I'm going to do anything. I'm just hanging out. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are like, you know, you're right. There's nothing wrong with that. And you're right, but track with me for a second. See, the nothing wrong with it approach leads us right up to the edge of poor decisions. See, I understand, I realize that everything I just said, there was nothing wrong with it. But if you go through life by saying there's nothing wrong with it, it walks you right up to the very edge of pain. It walks you right up to the very edge of consequences. It walks you right up to the very edge of regret. I talk to people all the time who just say, you know, if I just would have done things differently, if I just would have done my schoolwork, if I just would have paid more attention to school, if I just would have went to college, if I just would have waited for marriage, if I just would have never lit that first cigarette, if I just never would have taken that first drink, if I would have never hung out with that crowd, oh, how my life would be different. Our lives are full of regrets. So the question becomes, could you have saved yourself all those regrets if you hadn't walked that line of saying there's nothing wrong with it? See, every decision you regret begins with a series of there's nothing wrong with it choices. Here's the deal. You can't make decisions for me. I can't make decisions for you. But you're here today, and I'm just trying to share you a little truth, a little nugget from the Bible, hoping that you would grasp it. Just try to speak a little truth in your life, because the truth is most people don't speak truth into your life. Most people we hang out with them because they say things we like to hear. Well, I like to talk to them because they always agree with me. I don't like to hang out with that person who's telling me I'm doing wrong. Dad, I don't like to hang out with you because you're always telling me I'm doing the wrong thing. Mom, why are you always coming down on me? Well, I don't like to go to church because that preacher's always telling me I'm in the wrong. See, regretful decisions always begin with a series of there's nothing wrong with it choices. See, and without even realizing it, what you're really asking is, how close can I get to sin without actually sinning? How close can I get? If this is the line of pain, if this is the line of consequences, if this is the line of regret, how close can I get? How close can I walk up to this without actually falling off the edge? And that's how we live our life. How close to the edge can I get before I get in trouble? So the question we ask is typically the wrong question. We're always asking, is there anything wrong with it? Is it wrong? Is it morally wrong? Is it against the law? See, but I have a new question for you. And if you get nothing else out today, my hope, my prayer is that you walk away and say, you know what? I got to make this part of my life. This has to become a habit in my life. This one simple thing will save me from so many poor choices. See, don't ask the question, is there anything wrong with it? Ask this question instead. What is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? I mean, look what the Bible says in Proverbs 28. It says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But he who walks wisely will be delivered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. See, here's the learning, and this is what I've learned over the years, is that I can't trust my own heart, right? Because he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Why can't I trust my own heart? Because if I always acted on my feelings, I would act in some pretty unwise ways. Let me give you some examples. How many of you guys, this is something that drives me crazy. How many of you guys ever be driving down like 97 or 27 or 31 or one of these kind of like two-lane highways, 55 miles an hour, but two lanes, and you get behind this group of people on bicycles, and you're driving 55, you come behind them, and they're going like 10 miles an hour, right? You guys ever experienced that? And you can't do anything. You have to sit behind them, and you're just waiting for that opportunity to get around them, to move out of the way. And here's the deal. Apparently bikers have the right of way, and so they have the same rights as vehicles, but they don't obey the law like we do, right? We come to a stop sign, we have to stop. They come to stop sign, just right through it, right? Can't stand them bikers. This is what I think about. I think about this all the time. I promise you. I think about it, it's like every time I come up to them, I just want to go around them, and then right when I get in front, I just want to take the little bump of my car, and I don't want to kill anybody, but I just want to bump that first tire, right? Just hit that first tire, and just see him go, and then fall over, and then have the three behind him just run into him, and then the five behind him run in, and next thing you know, there's like 30 bikers that are just laying on the ground in this massive pile, and you look up in your rearview mirror, and all you see is like bicycle parts and spandex just everywhere. That's what I feel like doing. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. I can remember being 18 years old, just graduating high school, and I got this letter in the mail. You guys probably got it also. It said, to Mr. Wilkening or current resident, right? And you open it up, and this is what it says. Congratulations, you have been pre-approved. Right, Emily got been pre-approved? And I got that letter, and I thought, man, what an amazing thing. I am 18 years old, and I am pre-approved for a credit card. And so what I do, I filled out that credit card, and I sent it in 2 weeks later. Bam, credit card, right? That thing was awesome. I remember the first time going out and using it. I went out with a bunch of friends. We went to a restaurant. Friend sitting next to me, he said, you know, I'm just going to get water today. I don't have any money. And what I say? No problem. No problem. I got a credit. Matter of fact, I'm paying for everybody today. We all eat. That check comes. I don't need no cash. Bam, credit card. Threw that credit card down. Paid that bill. We left. We went up to the mall. Went up Columbia Mall. And I'm looking around, and I see this shirt I like. And typically, I would never pay for this because I couldn't afford that. But I don't need cash anymore, right? Because I have a credit card. Bam! I don't need a wallet. All I need is carry my driver's license and my credit card and a box to hold all the receipts, right? That's all you need. Don't got to worry about anything else. Now, let me ask you, is there anything wrong with having a credit card? No. Anything morally wrong? No. Is it against the law? No. But was it the wise thing for me to do to get a credit card at that age? No. You know why? Because at 18 years old, I had $1,000 in credit card debt. And you know what I couldn't do with that credit card? Pay the bill. I couldn't pay the bill. And so next thing you know, I get this credit report, and it's or next thing you know, I have bad credit. And then I'm 19, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to go buy my first brand new car. I'm going to go into it, and I'm going to get this car that I've always wanted in there. And what happened? No, deny it. Why? Because of bad credit. See, if I would have been living my life by this filter says, what is the wise thing to do? I would have never done that. If I would have said the decision, the car came in, and I would have thought about it and said, saying, is there anything wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with me getting this car? Instead of saying, you know, is it the wise thing for me to do? I mean, I'm working barely part-time. I can't afford anything. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. I mean, how many of you guys would say that's a pretty good principle, right? What's the wise thing to do? Will you walk around, Ryan, you have a decision to make? And we tell our son this all the time. What's the wise thing to do? You know, where's the wisdom in that? I know there's nothing wrong with it, but is it really the wise decision? See, my sincere hope is that you would live this principle out. You begin walking around life, and in everything you do, you come across this question, just say, you know, what's the wise thing to do? Is it wise for me to do this? See, but more importantly than me hoping that you would do this, I believe it's a principle that God has placed in our lives. I believe it's something that God wants to live. I believe this is the way God wants us to live. I mean, do you remember that first verse we read when we first began? Let me read to you again. It says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. What's that mean? It says true wisdom comes when we fear the Lord. True wisdom comes when we serve God. True wisdom comes when we make Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. It says fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. See, God's desire is for you to make wise choices. For you to make wise decisions. Let me just close by saying this, that the wisest decision that you would ever make in your life is to choose to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Why? Because fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. That you can truly never make wise decisions unless you have Jesus in your life. Unless you're serving God. And what does that mean for each and every one of us? See, the Bible says that we have a terrible curse that was placed upon our lives called sin. Sin is when we do bad stuff, when we make mistakes, we have all this junk in our lives. The Bible says there's no amount of work, there's no amount of stuff we can do to ever take this junk out of our lives. That nothing that we could ever do of our own to get rid of this baggage that we carry around. No amount of work, no amount of our own efforts, of our own merit that can ever get rid of all this stuff. The Bible says, for it is by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift to God. Not of any works we can do, so that no one can ever boast. See, a lot of people think, oh, I can make it to heaven. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I just try to let my good stuff outweigh my bad. But that's not how it works. That's not what the Bible says. What does that mean? It means there's never enough good works, there's never enough good deeds that we could ever do to be forgiven of all the stuff we've messed up at. You'll never be a good enough person. The Bible says that all of us have sinned. All of us fall short of God's glory. See, we're so thankful that God had a plan already set in place, that plan of redemption for our lives. John 3:16, we see it at every football game. Just about everyone in the world knows it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible declares that there is none righteous. No, not even one of us is righteous. But that God demonstrated his own love for us in this way, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's you, that's me. The Bible says simply, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is the wisest decision that you will ever make. And my hope is that we leave here today and we all feel blessed. And we leave here today and we all feel loved. And we leave here today and we all feel appreciated. I hope we leave here today excited about the school year, excited about the things we're doing, excited about the future, excited about applying this simple truth of what's the wise thing to do in each and every one of our lives. But I'm most excited about applying this truth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of your life. My hope is that you would understand that you would make Jesus your Lord and Savior. It is the wisest decision that you will ever make. My hope today is simply that you would become a follower of Jesus. If you become a follower of Jesus, he will help you make those wise decisions. I guarantee it. Can we pray this morning? Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. Let it challenge us. Let it transform us. Lord, I pray today for every person here, God, that you begin to open our hearts. God, Lord, help us all to search our hearts. Let me ask this. I never usually do this, but let me just say, if you're in here today and you feel like you need Jesus in your life, can you, if you feel like you need Jesus, like something's tugging on your heart, and you might not even understand it, but you know that God is doing something. You realize that more than ever, you need Jesus as your Savior. If you just look up at me real quick, I don't want to call you out. I won't call you out. Yes, I see that. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I'm going to pray for you really quick today. The Bible says we just confess with the mouth that he is Lord. We confess our sins to him. We ask him to forgive us. We will be saved today. Even if you didn't look up at me, if you believe that, if you pray this prayer with me, we believe you are on the road, that you have been saved and you are on the road to a life with Jesus. We're going to pray that this morning, and then we're going to pray for just wisdom each one of our lives. We pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray today for each and every person here. Lord, those who looked up, those who didn't. Lord, you know our hearts and you understand our need for you. Lord, right now we come before you and we ask for you to forgive us of our sins. Wash us clean. Wash us white as snow. Lord, we understand we need you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, we might not even understand what that means yet, but Father, we know that we can't do this on our own. So Father, we confess our sins to you. We ask you to come into our hearts and live in our lives. Make us fresh, make us anew. We believe that you died on that cross for our sins. And now we can live in freedom with you, that we don't have to carry around that garbage. We don't have to carry around that baggage any longer. We don't have to carry around that sin any longer. We can give it to you. And you forgive us of all of our sins, all of our trespasses, all of our failures. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for saving our lives. Lord, and I pray today for each and every one of us today, that as we leave here today, we will leave here, Father, with this principle of what's the wise thing to do. That it will help us to stop making bad decisions. Help us from making poor choices. That it will become part of our life. That it becomes so ingrained in everything we do. And save us from so much hurt, so much regret, so many bad consequences. Lord, I pray that it just be instilled in each and every one of us. Now, Lord, I pray your blessings today and your anointing on each person. Lord, bless us as we, Lord, as we leave. God, I want to bless every, Lord, I want to pray for every student, Lord, that your blessing will be upon them, Lord, as they're getting ready for school. God, as we're able to give them some school supplies, let it be abundant. Lord, let it meet all their needs. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.